Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I think that our best resources is human bodies, and that's why we're calling for a day of outrage so people can start coming together on Monday, 4:30 in front of Borough Hall on 161st Street in Grand Concourse, and then we're going to take it from there. We don't always need to throw money at a problem. We need to bring human resources and brainstorm together, and we hope to start that broader conversation on Monday.
If that sounds familiar, that was Bronx Borough President Ruben Diaz Jr. on our show on Friday, promoting the Day of Outrage Against Crime this afternoon at the Bronx County Courthouse at 4:30. This is one of many such rallies around the country today being organized by Reverend Al Sharpton's National Action Network. New York has reason to be outraged, even with overall violent crime going down in most categories, or at least we are told, as some high-profile stray bullet shootings of innocent bystanders are also taking place, like 92-year-old Sadie Mitchell shot inside her own home and 15-year-old Veda Vasquez caught in the crossfire of an apparent gang shooting by a 16-year-old. And those are just the ones that are making the headlines. But who to be outraged at when gun violence has many parents? We will be joined in just a moment by Rosanna Rosado, publisher of El Diario La Prensa, who endorsed today's rallies in a Saturday editorial after hearing Borough President Diaz on our show, and longtime Brooklyn activist with us right now, Reverend Herbert Daughtry from the House of the Lord Pentecostal Church in Brooklyn. Reverend Daughtry, welcome back to WNYC. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
And Rosanna, you there yet? Okay, we're getting Rosanna's phone hooked up. And listeners, will you attend a Day of Outrage Against Crime event today? And who would you direct your outrage at? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer's show. Reverend Daughtry, is there also an event in Brooklyn today?
No, we're going to be in Manhattan at 147th and 47th and 48th Street, Times Square, at 1:45, we'll be assembling.
And
but we're supportive, and we've been talking it up in Brooklyn, and but we hope that the people will meet us at 1:45 Times Square.
So Times Square at did you say the time also at 4:30?
1:45.
Oh, 1:45 is the time for the Times Square event, 4:30 in the Bronx at the courthouse. People could make an afternoon of it going from one to the other.
That's correct.
Rosanna Rosado is with us now, publisher of El Diario. Rosanna, what was it about the borough president's appearance Friday that really got you?
Well, you know, I took his words to heart when he spoke about our need to come together and our need to actually be outraged. I think that, and it was a wonderful interview, by the way. Congratulations, Brian. So
Thank you.
Did inspire an editorial with that appearance. I think when we talk about coming out for outrage, I think it's time for us as parents and community activists and leadership to come together and say, this is an outrage and we're going to do something about it. Brian, I'm on my way to see my son. He turns 18 today and he's in college. And that is what I hope for every parent in the Bronx, to be able to see their child through 18 in college first year. And in order to do that, we have to come together to stop the violence, in our communities in the city.
Reverend Daughtry, who's the target of your outrage today?
The entire society in general, but more specifically, the community violence. I don't think we can isolate what is happening in the community, as you have expressed with regard to the cases. But violence it proliferates. I mean, we've glorified in the movies, on television, in the magazines, in the rap, hip-hop culture to a large extent. It's proliferating, and therefore we all need to take a look at ourselves. We need to go to the mirror and take a look at ourselves, the producers, the directors that glorify violence, and it spills over in dramatic fashion in the disadvantaged communities. So we address the entire spectrum, but again, daily we are in contact with the victims of violence. I have, and I want to, I should say, Lord, and support and honor Reverend Sharpton, as always, for calling us together on this issue, as in he has done on many other issues. But I have funeralized two young men killed by violence. There was a woman in Brooklyn that was a part of our group who she had three sons. All of them were killed by violence. I used to attend funerals of young men, primarily almost exclusively black, Latino, because it was so heavy on my heart. And I would attend these funerals. I attended one funeral, and the mortician said to me, he said, Reverend, I got to go on a vacation. He said, you're here for one teenager, but I have 11 downstairs that have all been killed by violence. Mm-hmm. It is to that extent that it has reached across America. It's an epidemic. And therefore, our entire society need to come together and find a way to put an end to it.
Eli in Crown Heights, thank you very much for calling. Who would your outrage be directed against today?
The WNYC. You guys seem to be failing to get more than just black representatives to stand up here and show their outrage for this. I think you guys need to be more responsible by getting representatives from more communities to stand together on this.
Well, last time I looked, I was white, and Rosanna was Latino, and we have our Indian-American reporter, Arun Venkopal, standing by to be a part of this story. Hi, Arun.
Hi, Brian.
Maybe this is a good time to bring you in and talk about the gun loophole and mayor's crackdown against gun violence story that you reported on Morning Edition and on The Takeaway today.
That's right. I mean, clearly today's day of outrage is not just operating on its own. It's actually coinciding with the mayors doing their own thing, really. Mayor's Coalition, which is against illegal guns, run by Mayor Bloomberg, they've put out a big ad in the Washington Post today calling for a crackdown on what they call the terror gap, which allows people like Major Hussein from Fort Hood to purchase a gun, even though he was on the terror watch list. I went out to Pennsylvania a few weeks ago to talk to people who are affected, how they see really being kind of affected by Mayor Bloomberg, the city, and this Mayor's Coalition. And here you can listen to this one gentleman I spoke to who works at the Gun Gallery in Mount Penn. This isn't just any store. It's one of the stores that the city cracked down on for its what they saw as loose enforcement of straw purchases.
I mean, he can bankrupt somebody, and he just still is who he is. I find it pretty ridiculous. And like I said, if more was done against illegal guns and the illegal people, I don't think we'd be having this discussion right now.
So that's a gun store owner in rural Pennsylvania angry at Mayor Bloomberg.
That's right. He's saying by saying he can bankrupt people, he's saying that it's a very heavy-handed approach going after these small stores. They said he lost hundreds of thousands of dollars because of the city's crackdown. And he thinks that really it's not about these little stores. It's really about enforcement, which needs to be ramped up.
Let us play another clip of Bronx Borough President Ruben Diaz on our show on Friday. We just heard about going after gun dealers and the gun show loophole as well. Here is a whole other avenue. Listen to what Borough President Diaz says he's going to do, among other things, about the violence in the Bronx.
We have to go out there and speak to gang members. That means that we have to go out there and speak to their leaders to get from them what is it that needs to happen in order for this gunplay to stop, because we've had enough of it. Young people are getting hurt either as victims or, in this case, look at the young man who has been arrested with, you know, that's another life that has been destroyed here, and he's only 16 years of age.
So, Rosanna Rosato, what do you think about that? We didn't have time to explore that aspect on Friday's show, but we did get some listener response afterward that said, what does he mean he's going to go out there and have a dialogue with gang leaders? He should be going out there and arresting gang leaders.
Well, I think both things. I think, in fact, that was one of the statements that Ruben made on Friday that also inspired the editorial in kind of the two-pronged approach. I think what he's saying is that we have to also speak to these disaffected youth. And, you know, whether that, I think that also includes helping law enforcement. But I think that when you saw the headlines, when you saw the face of, there was a baby-faced gunman in the paper last week, everyone who is involved in these issues in the community looks and says, that is another life lost. I mean, you know, the governor's task force on juvenile justice has, you know, is about to turn their report in. I mean, we have systems that deal with these kids, and I think that Ruben's approach to also dialogue with these disaffected youth to try to bring them to the table and to do something about it is to be supported, and that does not mean that he is not going to assist law enforcement in arresting, you know, kids who are doing illegal things. But we have to counter the leadership that these kids are seeing in, you know, in other youth who are doing these very bad things, you know, whether they're involved in drugs and gun violence. I think that his approach is the right approach and that we should support him in doing that.
Reverend Daughtry, why is this happening now? If violent crime is down overall in the city and has been going down year after year after year, unless you don't believe the stats, why is outrage peaking right now on this day?
Well, I think most of us, at least the leaders that I know, have always been opposed to this violence. I know Reverend Sharpton has. We have an organization called Families Against Victims of Violence that for years have been denouncing violence, street violence, violence in all of its manifestations. However, when it began to have an impact on the larger society, began to threaten the stability of the larger society, as in other instances, it then gains public notice. But some of us have been laboring in the community on this issue, meeting with gang leaders. We do that. We seek them out. We talk with them. And not only that, but people who are ex-offenders, we try to go where the action is. So, as I've indicated, some of us have been struggling. I mean, I'm a pastor 50 years. I've been in the ministry for 50 years. That's a part of the heartbreak of our ministry, where these are not numbers, statistics. These are people who are members of my church, who are mothers primarily, grandmothers, that we hold in our arms, that we have to pray for. And so we not only look at the outcome of the victims of the violence, but we try to reach out to those who are in some way associated in perpetrating it. But again, I want to emphasize, let's don't dismiss or minimize the influence of the way that society at large glorifies violence. I mean, the heroes and the movies and the magazines are people who are violent. I mean, the hip-hop culture, when you listen, I can't hardly listen to most of that stuff. It's glorifying violence.
Sure.
So when the society seems to be glorifying violence, then obviously it's going to spill over to the young people in particular, and we're all going to be affected by it.
We're talking about the Day of Outrage events against violent crime taking place 1:45 today in Times Square, 4:30 today at the Bronx County Courthouse. Reverend Herbert Daughtry from the House of the Lord Pentecostal Church in Brooklyn with us. Rosanna Rosado, publisher of El Diario La Prensa, with us. WNYC's Arun Venugopal with us after reporting on some rural gun dealers in Pennsylvania versus Mayor Bloomberg. And John in Bedford-Stuyvesant, you're on WNYC. John, who are you most outraged at?
Oh, good morning, Brian. I am outraged at first the community, which has a moral values crisis. I mean, most of these kids growing up in single-parent homes, they're the children of children. And second, I work for the courts. And most of New York law, as you see taxpayer money spent on posters saying no ifs, ands, or buts, if you get caught with a gun, you're going to do 3 years. That's not the case. 90% of the people get paroled. And as you saw in the last election, you know, trying to replace Morgenthau, all these candidates were making an issue about how not to lock up black and brown. So that's why you see a lot of gun crime, because people get caught with guns basically all unpunished in the city.
Reverend Daughtry, you want to respond to John?
Well, I think that gun violence, as I pointed out, is simply a part of it. I see a total picture, but I'm with the mayor and I'm with those who are opposed strenuously to gun possessions, illegal in particular gun possession. And I believe that
should they be sentencing more than they are versus paroling for people caught with guns, in your opinion?
Well, Well, I don't want to be absolute about that. I think judges should have some discretion as to how people are sentenced, you know, with regard to this issue.
And you mentioned mostly mothers, mostly grandmothers in your community who you're dealing with. And John talks about a moral crisis in broken down families in the neighborhood. Do you want to talk about this in terms of family formation or family breakdown at all?
Well, yes, that is true. That with that, I'll agree that when we put together the organization that we have families of victims against violence, it was primarily women. So there is a family crisis in our community, but at the same time, there are single-parent families that are doing quite well. So, I look at the total package as to what is the values. I think the speaker a moment ago was on to something when he spoke of the moral breakdown of the social order. I'm with that. I think the larger society, there is a moral breakdown. And when there is a moral breakdown, then those who are at the bottom of the social ladder generally are impacted the most.
Rosado, do you think gang activity is on the rise in New York in general, and since you publish El Diario, in Latino New York in particular, let's say in the last year or two?
Well, you know, I just think that there is a bigger awareness now on the part of us in the media of these crimes that perhaps did not get, you know, front page coverage before. I think that the Reverend is right. We've been working on these issues for years. And I don't know that, you know, the economy, the downturn in the economy has given way to a little rise in kind of this, you know, crime at the neighborhood level, certainly muggings and stuff like that. But, you know, I don't want to rush to say that this is all caused by the breakdown in morality. We have issues. I think the important thing in this day of outrage is that we as a community collectively have to fill in those gaps where there are, you know, boys without fathers or families whose father or mother are in prison, that is not a need to ride off the next generation, that we need to pull together. And I think that over the last decade or so, we've kind of lulled ourselves into believing that this is over, that crime is down, and that we are now this different kind of city. And, you know, at the very grassroots level, that's not true. We need to continue the work of, you know, there's crisis in the education system, which affects crisis in the community, which creates these disaffected youth who are 18 to 24 and who are not on any kind of education track. I think those are the broader issues. There was also a caller to your show last Friday when Ruben was on who said she ran a youth group or an after-school program in the Bronx, and she spoke about kind of those big, broader issues. And I think that's why this outrage is important. I think it's careful that people don't come out and say they're outraged and who is their anger directed to. The truth is that, you know, we have to be outraged together, and we have to be outraged, you know, kind of with each other, and we have to pull together to solve these issues.
And WNYC's Arun Venugopal, Mayor Bloomberg's coalition today took out a full-page ad in the Washington Post announcing that they now have over 500 members. That's 500 mayors in this coalition,
right?
Correct?
Yes, yes. I mean, it's been growing despite this NRA campaign, which I've been reporting on, to try to force mayors out of it. They really think they have a lot more clout, and they expect to push a lot more legislation based on the size of this coalition.
Legislation like what?
Well, there's this thing that I mentioned earlier that's called closing the terror gap, which basically means that they say somebody like Major Hassan from Fort Hood can go and buy a gun. The authorities, the federal officials, do not know that he's bought a gun, even though he was on the terror watch list. There's also things like closing the gun show loophole, which allows some people to go to gun shows, buy guns easily without getting any background checks. So there are a lot of different things like this, which they think are allowing guns to sort of permeate from states down south, from Pennsylvania, and come up to New York because of this lax enforcement.
Tom in the South Bronx, you're on WNYC. Tom, thank you for calling.
Hello.
Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Hello.
Tom, turn your radio off.
All right. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You're on the air.
Brian, a longtime listener. Very glad to have an opportunity. I work in the South Bronx, and basically, I want to echo the call, two calls ago. And basically, we have to give kids that are raised basically from birth to be people. And then all of a sudden, something happens where the opportunity to join a gang is what's all that's left of them. all the community-based, religious-based, church-based, school-based programs are cut by the wayside. And, yeah, sure, the economy does play a role. That could be part of it. But basically, it's a lot cheaper to fund a community-based program than to put a child in jail and destroy that life forever. Because basically, once you have a criminal record and you try to re-enter society, and this could have been a mistake that you made at 16 or 17, it's very, very hard to get back into society, get a job, go to school, be, you know, even your family members to support you because you're already tainted, because you made a mistake at age 16 because you were raised by a single mother, because there was no after-school program for you, and all you did was hang out with the bad people because that was your only alternative, and you got mixed up because somebody did something or said something to you, and then you retaliated because the only thing you left that you had was your own personal credibility, your own self-esteem, and then that was knocked to the ground, and there was no reasonable alternative, and that's what happened. And one bad mistake, and your whole life is shot.
Tom, thank you very much. And we have Governor Patterson in the news today, even in the light of the terrible budget crunch facing New York State and his own calls to cut education aid, saying we have to extend the school day to like 6 o'clock, partly because so much of the trouble that teenagers get into happens between 3 and 6. So whether he'll have the money to do that remains to be seen, but something that the governor thinks should be a priority. Reverend Daughtry, before you go, you might be better known to many listeners in many parts of the city, as might Reverend Sharpton, who's organizing this National Day of Outrage Against Crime nationwide, for expressing outrage against the authorities and the establishment. One, do you think people are missing an element of your work over the years? But two, what does this do to public outrage about stop and frisk, in particular in the city, which does create community outrage itself, but is basically a program, Ray Kelly would say, to get illegal guns off the street?
Well, let me say, you mentioned our work, Reverend Sharpton, and I, we go back so many years. This is my 51st year in the ministry, and we've been joined many causes. In fact, I'm on the mayor's task force as to why police kill police, which is another form of violence. I grew up in the streets of Brooklyn and Jersey City. I had my first arrest at 15. I was a gang member. I did all the kinds of things that we on this air denouncing, and rightfully so. But I want to emphasize is that when I was growing up and I had my first arrest, this was a badge of courage. All the talk of about a larger society of let's come down hard, we dismissed that. It was a badge of courage. Came back to the community, and I was a hero. Because in the larger society, it was a glorification of violence. The guys that we admired when we went to the movies were the gangsters, the guys who seemed to have had all the pretty women, pretty cars, pretty clothes, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, So the larger society, this is an epidemic proportion. What I'm trying to get at is that this is epidemic proportion. We should approach it like this. One of the callers mentioned the social programs, all necessary. There are various aspects of this problem that need to be addressed, and we can pick out pieces of it.
And quickly
on a national problem.
Quickly on stop and frisk, as particularly an anti-gun, aggressive policy measure that they say more guns get taken off the street by that than any other kind of police activity.
Well, as always, the intention may be admirable, but an abuse of even the best intention, the streets of hell are paved with good intentions, can exacerbate the problem and can create the kind of tension in the community which lead to more violence.
And Rosanna, a last word, because I think part of what we've heard on this show is the enormous multifaceted nature of this problem, from individual family responsibility to gun dealers in rural Pennsylvania. It's so multifaceted that it can be overwhelming. So where do we go? Oh, we lost Rosanna. Okay, we lost her on her cell phone. So we will leave it there and just remind you again, if you're interested in taking part, that the Day of Outrage Against Violence events going on around the country are at least two in New York, 145 in Times Square, 4:30 at the Bronx County Courthouse. We thank Rosanna Rosato, publisher of El Diario La Prensa, Reverend Herbert Daughtry from the House of the Lord Pentecostal Church in Brooklyn, and WNYC's Arun Venugopal reporting on the mayor's campaign against illegal guns and the NRA's response. Thank you all very much for coming on.
Thank you, Brian.
And thank you for this program. This too is helpful.
Thank you, Reverend. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us.